that I hope it's not just something that we're dealing with here in our church, but I would love to know that the Holy Spirit is doing this wonderful work across the globe with Christians everywhere on reintroducing us to this idea of the presence of God, and that we would not just talk about it, we'd not just hear about it or sing about it, but that we would actually begin to live in God's presence. But today, so next week we'll end our time in the presence, the study of the presence of God, and I'm actually going to be interviewing Deb next week. Been waiting for what we thought would be the right time to interview her about not so much all the stuff that she's been through in the last year and a half, but really because this became a central focus in her life. When we were in Colorado and we got this, you know, mountain dropped on top of Deb of the news that she was going through, we were there with friends of ours, Kenny and Lisa Flickinger, and Lisa immediately brought in this this daily Bible reading. And guess what the daily Bible reading's focus was every day? On being in the presence of God. And what a great start for Deb. So she's kind of had her own way of getting to this place, and I've had a different way of getting to this place, but it really was about the presence of God. So next week, I'll be interviewing her, not so much about the struggle that she's gone through with leukemia and all those kind of things, but more about the journey she's gone through in learning what it means in new and real ways to be in God's presence. So we'll do that next week. This week I wanted to talk about another avenue that we can use to come into God's presence. One of the first ones that we know about that we started looking at was prayer is a path that we can go down to come into God's presence. But today I want to talk about worship. And I want to narrow it down to worship in song, because worship in song is another avenue that we can use to come into God's presence. To worship God in any way is to come into His presence. It's to do this. It's to set Him on the throne and know that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He's the God of the universe. And so to worship God in any form is to come into His presence. Worship and song is a very specific avenue to come into His presence. Psalm 23 is a cornerstone verse on worship, and in a second I'm going to read it in a handful of different versions. It's often helpful to look at passages of Scripture in different translations to fully grasp the meaning of each word or phrase. So remember, this is Psalm 22. It's talking about God. So let me give it to you in the King James Version, and maybe... they'll all be up there, but you'll see, first of all, the King James Version, and it says this: "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." That's the King James way of saying it. Now, let me take it into the New Living Translation, and you can just parallel it, because it's talking about God. "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." And you'll see a little bit of shift from the King James. It says inhabits the praises, and they've actually written a number of songs that talk about this idea that God inhabits, He dwells in, His presence comes into the praises of His people. Do you get that idea? The New Living Translation and most translations take it from inhabits to this idea of enthroned, and I love that. The last one is the Amplified Bible. Do you know what the Amplified Bible is? Does everybody know what the Amplified Bible is? It takes not only the Scripture itself, but then it takes key words in the verse and it amplifies it. It gives it a full meaning so you don't just read over it. So it says, "But you are holy, O you who dwell in," and if you look up, dwell would be inhabits, it would be this enthrones, "who dwell in the holy place," who dwell in, and it's talking about the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. So let's kind of frame that a little bit to our Sunday morning when we get together and we sing. What that verse is saying is, God, listen. We know that you are present and enthroned in the places where we offer up our praises. And that can be individually. I don't know how many of you have done this in your prayer time. I don't know how many of you have a song section in your personal prayer time. This was a hard one for me for a lot of reasons. It was hard because I was going to have to sing with no instrument. Now, when there's instruments here, it's great because the louder they are, the louder I can sing without anybody cringing within 10 feet of me, right? So it was no instruments there, nobody leading it. It was just me, and it was just my voice. And at first, boy, this was that awkward thing. If I thought about me in a room by myself singing. But it changed it dramatically when I realized it wasn't me alone. It was me in God's presence. And it was this thought that God dwells in the praises of his people. God's presence fills the space up when I praise God. Let me give you one other verse, okay? Psalm 104, verses 4 and 5. And again, songs have been written using these words. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So again, it's this idea of enthroning God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go to his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. It's that idea at the very beginning that I can enter the gates. I can enter the courts of his throne with praise and with thanksgiving. Worship and song has been a part of being intimate with God all through human history, all through Scripture. You find it in the Old Testament where they even formalize that one of the 12 tribes is going to be set aside, guess what for? To organize and lead in worship so that they could come into the presence as a nation. They could come into the presence of God. It continued into our time. And every Sunday morning when we meet here and the band and the vocal team, the worship team leads us. It's connecting us with this thing that started at the beginning of human history and continues on. It connects us with those Levites of the Old Testament. It connects us with Christians worldwide. So it started in the past. It's come into the present. And listen, if you read that last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, guess what you're going to read about? You're going to read about worship and song that takes us into and throughout eternity. If you're a Christian here today, I want to say this to you. Worship in song is central to coming into God's presence. It's essential to coming into God's presence. It needs to be understood, integrated into our life, and experienced because it leads us to being in God's presence. So I've got a couple exercises that I want us to do today, and hopefully it'll benefit us, all right? Steve, could you go ahead and put up that next slide? These are transliterated Greek words of the New Testament. Now, don't get sidetracked with the whole transliterated thing. This does not mean it's a hard exercise. In fact, as you look at these words, some of them in the last 4, 5, 6 months, we've looked at those words, those exact Greek words. We've spent a Sunday morning on those words, okay? Other ones, maybe we've never gone over, but if you look at them and think about our language, I bet you're going to be able to guess a bunch of these, okay? So anybody see a word up there that you see and you know what the English word would be for that? Anybody? Just, Rick, what's one of the words that you see? Okay, and what does that mean? It means the word, right? It means the word. Let me go to that second. Look at the second one on the list. Any ideas? What? Christ, right? Woo! Man, you guys know way more Greek than you thought you did. Can I go to the third one? Because we actually looked at this briefly a few months ago. Sophia. We've got some Sophies in our church, right? So what does that name mean? What would that Greek word mean? Mary? Your daughter is 100% right. Yeah, she's got it. Yeah, Sophia is wisdom. We're talking about worshiping God in song. Psalmos. Anybody? Man, like, you guys are like 4 for 4 already. Look at the next one. There's two ways you could go about figuring this one out. Anybody? What? Him. Yeah, so you can do it because the way you'd pronounce it is hymnos. Or, like, the way I do it is hum. And humming is part of music, so it's music is part of him. So that's how I go about it. All right, the next one, not as easy, but you should be able to get it. Forget the T-I-K-O-S at the end of the word. Forget that. Pneuma, anybody? Anybody? A breath? What else? What else? What else besides breath? Pneuma. Okay. Forget what Chad just said, okay? Pneuma, we've gone over this because we've been talking about God's spirit and my spirit from James chapter 4. Spirit, right. Ode, anybody? Any idea? Huh? Okay. Man, you guys are good. Yeah. Song. Adieu? Okay. Let's just pray and go home. Let's not do adieu. We'll come back to it, okay? Karis, because we have kids that are named Karis, right? Grace, right? Cardia? Phew! There was a little question, like you were giving an answer, like heart, maybe? Yeah. Like cardiac arrest, cardia. Yeah. Curios? Anybody? All right. Did pretty good on that. Can I match it up? Steve, did I say Sash last time or did I say Steve? Did I say Sash? Yeah, okay. Steve, let's do it here. Check out how well you did. Okay. Logos, Word, Christos, Christ. Sophia, Wisdom, Psalm, Hymn. Spiritual, because we got spirit out of pneuma, song. Adieu is just a form of odes. It's the verb of it. It's not just song, it's singing. Okay? Grace, heart, Lord. So look at your neighbor and said you did pretty good. Okay? Did pretty good. Pretty good on there. All right. Now I did all that for a reason, not to check out your Greek study, but because I want to look at one verse in particular this morning. All right. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And I was tempted to bring the transliterated Greek verse of this, or even the original, because the Greek alphabet would be slightly different than ours in appearance. So could I just put all those words together, because they all come from this verse. Like, you're really going to know the Greek of this verse. Ephesians 3:16, this is in the New King James, says, let the logos, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Man, I was tempted. I started with like 25 words because I was going to every word. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual odes, spiritual songs. Now let's put it into action. Singing adieu with grace, charis, in your heart, cardia, to the Lord. Here's Ephesians 3:16 in the New Living Translation. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. All the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song to God with thankful hearts. So you don't have to know all the verses in the Bible that talk about worship and song. This one is loaded. So I want to pull it apart just a phrase at a time, okay? How should we come to worship? Listen, not very often do I, on a Sunday morning, do this to us, okay? Because I know that's not very effective. This is not very effective. But every once in a while, as a shepherd, as a pastor, I have to come to us as a church and say, the time is ripe for us to move from where we've been forward. And this is one of those. Not just talking about the presence of God, not just talking about the presence of God in prayer, but collectively, when we come together as a church family on a Sunday morning, how should we come? How should we come to worship? How should we come to enthrone God or to walk into His throne and worship Him? So this morning, I want us to feel this as a church, that I'm speaking truth in love to move us from here to the next spot that God wants to take us to. The first phrase in Ephesians 3:16 says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. How many of you in the last 6 months has had a celebration of some sort, big or small, some celebration? Would you put your hand up? Every kid in here should be celebrating that school started in the fall. Okay? No, but we had Christmas, didn't we? I hope that was a celebration for you. How many of you in the last 6 months had a struggle that you went through? Maybe a small one, could be a big one. So about every person in this room, just raised your hand that you had a struggle or a celebration of some size in your life. And what that can do to us is it can put us on a roller coaster of when it's good, and when it's bad, it's not good. And when it's good, I just want to hold on to it and make it last. And when it's bad, I want to get out of it as quick as I possibly can. And without knowing it, we can go on an emotional, relational, spiritual roller coaster ride that's constant. There are certain things that can bring us to a stable place. And this is one of them. This is one of them. No matter struggle or celebration, this phrase, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. I'll guarantee if we just took this phrase, just this phrase, and lived in it, the message about Christ filling our lives, this roller coaster wouldn't go as high and wouldn't go as low. Or in the height of that, the top of the roller coaster, at the bottom of it, there would be this solid, centralizing thing in our life that here is the message of Christ. God loved us so much. He left heaven, became a human, lived a perfect life, died for you and me, rose again, and has promised us an eternal relationship with Him. That's the big thing. Here, in my everyday life, when you have a question about anything, you can always run to this. What would Jesus say about this? What would Jesus do? What did He do about this? That's the message about Christ. And the more we lived in it, the richer it gets. And He says this, live in it, let it become rich. Let it become so rich that it fills your life. This is what I call me-directed worship of God. Let me bring it down to as practical a place as I possibly can. When I pulled in this morning, Chad was out with Salt, and he looked like a farmer from the 1800s. He looked like he was just throwing seed out, you know. Devin got out of his car and said something about I should have brought my ice skates, which that was just a funny picture to me. Devin on ice skates in the parking lot, right? A lot going on out there. I think Danny's picking up Salt from Menards and walk in and it's real easy in our everyday life, including a Sunday morning coming here to church, to not come in living in this. Let the message of Christ fill my life. I walk in the door on a Sunday morning with everything that could be going on in my life and the lives around me. This is what I should be saying. What has Christ done for me? I should just start ticking it off. He's done this, he's done this, he's done this. Letting it fill me so when I walk in the back of this auditorium and walk into this room where I'm going to be in a community of believers, I'm filled with what Christ has done for me. That's me directed worship. That's worship that I need to say, where am I directed? Where am I moving in worship? Where am I? When Tim comes in the back door, where am I moving? Then it adds a second phrase. Let the message about Christ in all its fullness fill your life. That's about you when you come in. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. It shifted here from me directed when I walk in the door. What about me? When I come in, where am I in worshiping God? Am I fixed on, man, the parking lot's slippery and we need salt out there? Man, tomorrow when I get to work, I gotta hit the road, you know, going because, man, I have this huge week coming up. Is that what's going on when I walk in here? There's a simple temptation that could happen to every person in Community Bible Church. When you walk in the first door here, you could go, man, wonder what kind of donut I'm going to get, okay? Which is okay. But when we move from there and walk in here thinking about being in God's presence, thinking about worshiping God together, we should be saying, what's Christ done in my life? Not what are the issues of the day, the issues of the week, the issues of the month, the issues of the world around me. Just this thought. What has Christ done in my life? And then when we make that move, then we need to say, when I walk into this room, he's done so much for me. What can I do? What do I need to do for my brothers and sisters in here today? What can I share with them? What wisdom can I bring into their lives because of the struggle that they're going through? Worship is not just coming here, they start up the music, and we sing for a little while, and we do something like this, hum, 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 hum. Okay, the singing's done, now we're going to take the offering, then Tim's going to come up and talk for who knows how long. And then we're going to, you know, say goodbye to each other and move on our way. That can become the routine. Or it could be something like this. Walk in the door, what donut am I going to have? Ooh, okay, yay, celebrate the donut. Come in the back door here. What has Christ done for me? Let it fill you. And then you move here, when you come in here, not just what has Christ done for me, what does someone need for me to do for them? And then we come to this last phrase. Let the message of Christ, about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. That's about you walking in the back door. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. That's about the people around you. And this is what he says. I'm going to collect all that. I'm going to collect you as an individual, you as a group now, and I'm going to broaden it a little further. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. To me, this changes everything. When I walk in the door, if I just ask the simple question, what has Christ done in my life, and I let it fill me, and then I start thinking about what Christ has done and is doing in the lives of the people around me, and I actually become attuned to it more than just, yeah, you know, there's this football game on this afternoon, big thing, what are you doing? That's okay. But I hope it goes way farther than that. I hope it goes way deeper than that. Any Sunday morning that I come here, I think this when I stand in front of everybody. I wonder if this person knows that the person sitting next to them is going through the hardest struggle they've ever been through in life. I wonder if they know that. I wonder if we know that there's somebody sitting here today that's silently going through the greatest struggle that they've ever gone through in life. But then he takes us to this. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Do you know when we get the opportunity on a Sunday morning to sing as a group that this is what we're supposed to be doing, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. But we're never going to get there fully. We're never going to get to the place of worshiping God the way we should unless we start with being filled with what Christ has done for me, being aware of the people around us and the needs that they have that we might not even know about. And then using these avenues that God's given us, this avenue of music. Let me talk a little bit about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If you start doing a study about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you're going to hear like incredible breakdowns of the divisions of those. But almost everyone is going to be different. And that's because we don't know exactly what psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So can I give you a modern version of it? A lot of modern musicians would say psalms is songs that come right out of Scripture. They're Scripture verses that are turned into songs. And hymns are songs that have made it through the centuries. And then spiritual songs are the new and fresh songs that people are coming up with today and they'll come up with tomorrow. And honestly, I know that sounds like crazy, but it's actually a pretty good breakdown of it. A lot of times the scholars will say psalms are the words that just come out of the book of Psalms. And hymns are really modern psalms. And then spiritual song are just this eclectic group of spontaneous things. So it would look like this on a Sunday morning. If we sang a song, Psalm 23. Let's say we made a song of Psalm 23 and we sang that. And then we did an organized song, that would be hymns. And then on a Sunday morning here, if somebody just stood up and started singing what was on their hearts spontaneously, that would be spiritual songs. Okay? That's what some say. We're not doing that. Yet. Okay? A lot of times, spiritual songs is what God prompts you to do when you're in His presence. Just doing some readings, study, conversations with people. This is a phrase or words that God may lay on a person's heart when they're in His presence and they're so filled with what He's done in their lives and is doing in this world that this phrase just screams in their brain and in their soul and they can't help but sing it out loud. So what we're going to do with it is we're going to try and break it down a little bit just by the words and then make up whatever we want to make up about it. No, we won't make it up, all right? Here, let me go through the word psalm. Steve, go ahead and put that next one up. A psalm is this, and I love this definition. It is a striking, striking the chords of a musical instrument, a pious song. So it's a striking, and what it's talking about there is it's a rhythmic thing, or it's an instrument that has to be moved, strings. Don't you like this, you country western people? Who's country western fan in here? Raise your hand. Part of the definition of psalms is twanging. It's God putting His blessing on country western music. It's a striking, a twanging. Striking the chords of a musical instrument, and then it adds this, a pious song. Which, you know, we don't use the word pious a lot today. It used to be a compliment. Now it's almost not a compliment. It's a backhanded compliment. But I want to take it into this. It's a song that's deep in a person's soul. That's the definition of a psalm. A hymn is this, a song of praise, a sacred song. And in that, God put that word pneuma. Spiritual songs is this, a song from my spirit to God's spirit. So let me give you a quote from one of the writers that I was reading, said this: with these three words, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Paul is telling us to sing songs with instruments and a cappella. We're relieved, right? We get to use instruments and a cappella. There's a reason that he puts instruments in a cappella. There are some Christians that read through this that when they when they hear about instruments in the Old Testament, one of the shifts to them in the New Testament is that the instrument is supposed to be our heart. So there are churches, not only in our country, but around the world, that worship in song on a Sunday morning and do not use instruments. In fact, they don't even believe using instruments is right. But listen to what they're saying, because the best instrument to worship God with is my heart, my spirit, my soul. But I'm glad that this author includes instruments and a cappella, both about who God is and what he's done. Again, some of you haven't been in the what has become almost a battle over the last 15 or 20 years about songs and styles of songs. Because they say some songs talk about who God is, and some songs styles talk more about what he's done. Again, instruments and acapellas included, both about who God is and what he has done, and that God accepts both praise and petition as they come from the heart of the believer. I love that. He inhabits our praises and petitions. With instruments, a cappella, when we're talking about who God is or what he's done, he is enthroned in our praises. Let me try and break it down a little bit farther. When it comes to worshiping God together in song, there is music. I want to talk about that just a little bit, okay? There are different parts of music. There are the words, or what's the lyrics. I used to teach young people about music, because there was always this question about what music is okay and what music is not okay. And it would come down to two things to me. If it's Christian music, it should praise God and it should build up the believers. If it's non-Christian music, it should not dishonor God and it should not tear down the values that God tells us to live by. Right? It shouldn't tear it down. Music is about the words, the lyrics. And they're important. They help us focus our attention. They help us take us from the world that we're living in, that when we come in here, we have this thing that's called a sanctuary, this place where we can stop thinking about that and we can focus on eternal things, that the daily doesn't invade us, the everyday doesn't invade us, the eternal invades us. And lyrics are like that. I love that God has created some people with this artistic bent, that they can see the same thing I can, but they can put it into words, and I can't. Like, I can just look at it and go, oh. But they can actually put it into words, and I'm thankful for that. It's not just words and lyric. It's about sound. It's about melody. It's about harmony. I love that before we all, as a congregation, started to sing, that Cindy and Renee and the band gave us a music special. And in it, I heard Cindy's voice singing the melody. And in it, I heard Renee's voice singing the harmony. That they were singing separate notes. There wasn't a collision. There was this beauty that came to it. It's called harmony. So there are the lyrics, there is the sound, and then there is the rhythm. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I did a lot of research on this in the last couple years about rhythm and about music and about what words can do. Do you know this, that any group of people that repeats a set of words at the same time, it does something to them? It brings them into sync. Do you know this? Do you know? Anybody that hears music or involves themselves in music as a group at the same time, it does this really strange thing. It brings them into sync. It brings them into the same spot, the same place. Let me take it one step further. Do you know this? That any group of people, a band, an orchestra, somebody going to a concert that just hears the rhythm, listen, if they hear the rhythm long enough, their heart starts to sync up to the rhythm, not just their bodies, because I have one of those bodies that whatever, when somebody said clap this morning, I thought, well, I should do that. You know, I'm the pastor, and I started to clap, and I was clapping at the wrong time. So I'm not saying you have to be perfect with this body movement thing, but you know what it does? Rhythm has this thing that brings us into sync. It brings us into the same place. Think about that for a second. I come in the back door and I say, what has Christ done for me? And I allow that to fill me. And then I walk into this room and I think, all these brothers and sisters are here. I don't know if they're at the top of the roller coaster or they're at the bottom of the roller coaster. I don't know what they're going through, but man, I want to help them. I want to bless them. And then God says, turn your attention to me. Like, Tim, you turn your attention to me. Ron, you turn your attention to me. Music, sound, and rhythm. And you're not going to believe it, but if you will allow yourself as a group, your hearts will beat at the same time. And you'll be in this place that you can't believe. Because I inhabit praise. I love when my people come into the courts and see me enthroned. Years ago, I heard a guy teaching about praising God, that all of us loves our ego stroked. And he talked about, man, you know, I love it if somebody says to me, boy, you've been working out lately, you know. Or his hair had started thinning, and he said, if somebody came up to me and said, you know, your hair looks a little thicker. And he said, that's what God wants us to do. And I said, in my head, it just said, kid, when I heard that, that is crazy. Because God doesn't need that. He doesn't bring us here so that we can focus our attention on Him so He feels better in this moment. He knows praising Him does something for us. So what does it do? This is what it does. It brings a group of people here at Community Bible Church on a Sunday morning to the same place, worshiping the God who should be worshiped. And in this moment, if we let it happen, our hearts are in the same spot. Do you understand that? Like, our hearts are here. That if I'm celebrating and you're struggling, it brings us to the same perfect place. Well, I wonder what songs they picked this morning. Wonder if we're going to have fast songs, slow songs, or a combination. Drum seems a little bit off. Rhythm just a little bit off. I know what Carmine's thinking. No, I'm on. You guys are a little off. We can do that. And every one of us that does that, we don't get what God wants us to get. Like, we don't get it. We miss out on it. Remember I told you, He pursues us in salvation. But He lets us pursue Him in intimacy. Like, we get to choose that. We can choose that. Do you understand this? Thousands of Christians go to church on a Sunday morning and miss having their hearts linked with all the other believers there in that moment. They miss that. They miss having their hearts linked together in that moment. All of us worshiping God, like this perfect moment. They miss that because God doesn't force that on any one of us. He invites us to it. That's what the verses that we read at the beginning. He invites us to it. But He doesn't force it on us. So how about you? Like, where are you at on that? Well, I can come in and just do this routine, or I can be connected deeply with my brothers and sisters, worshiping God in the same moment, being filled with what Christ has done to me, with us, and we're saying it to Him so that our hearts can come to the same spot. There's the music and there's the motivation. Why should I do it? Let me read verse 16 again and add one verse to it, verse 17. Let the message about Christ and all His richness fill your lives. Boy, we could stop there. We could spend the rest of our lives there. But He pushes ahead, not just about me. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives you. It's not just about me and us. It leads you and me to a place. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song to God with thankful hearts. and whatever you do or say. That includes a lot, pretty much everything. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Yeah, I hear this verse quoted a lot. Whatever you do, word or deed, do to God's glory. Like, I hear this a lot. And it's a great life verse. But you know what it's connected to? Like, if you're looking at the context, it's connected to worship. It's connected to my life being a life of worship. Like, when I come in that back door, stopping for a second and saying, what has Christ done for me? Man, I can't help but worship him. What about my brothers and sisters? Man, I want them to be fully involved in worshiping together. Well, let's all come to this. Let's all come. We came in here. Let's stop everything else there. And let's come in here. And let's not focus on the everyday. Let's focus on the eternal. And in that moment, man, help us to come into God's presence. So when I leave here, whatever I do in word or deed, I carry this thankfulness with me. Like, I carry it with me. I've heard of churches that they have a welcome sign if you pull into the driveway. And then on the way out, they have another, the back of the sign says something different. So, like, it'll say, welcome to the church. And then on the back of the sign, it'll say, go into all the world. Right? What a great thing. Like, it's saying that. I think we should have a sign, both the driveways, and on the front side when you pull in, it should say, be thankful. And on the back side, it should say, be thankful. Like, come here and learn. Get that focus again about being thankful. But then when you leave here, whatever you do in word or deed, do all God, to God's glory. Be thankful. Then I want to end with two verses, one that we've been looking at and a new one. Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:18. So these are two different books that the verse says almost the same thing. So let me read, it says Ephesians, but it's the Colossians one. Let the message about Christ and all his richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives you. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song to God with thankful hearts. Now, I'm going to go to another book, the book of Ephesians, written by the same pastor, Paul. And he's going to say a lot of the same things. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine. We'll get to that sometime in the future because that will ruin your life. I guess we don't have to get to it because it says it all right there, right? Instead, it says this, be filled with the Spirit. And then it starts duplicating things. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. So do you see, like, if you just look at those, when it gets to that part where it says singing psalms and hymns and spiritual song in Colossians, it's going to say almost the same thing, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your heart in Ephesians. Could you tell me what's the difference? Eliminate the top of Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Do you see the difference? In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the message about Christ fill your lives. In all its richness, fill your lives. Now, in Ephesians, it says something different there. What does it say different? Some of you are mumbling. Say it out loud. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So is there a conflict here? Is it like, or is there multiple things that we can be doing? Is that what it's saying? Is it saying, well, be filled with the Holy Spirit and then let the riches of Christ fill your lives? Is it saying that? Or is it doing this? Is it saying the same thing in two different ways? Can I tell you this? If I let what Christ has done in my life fill my life, guess what I'm going to be? Filled with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit, guess what? I've let the message of Christ fill my life. remember when we started this series about coming into God's presence, we looked at John chapter 4 where Jesus said, there's coming a day and it's now here where people are going to worship different. You have to worship in spirit and truth. And then we looked at that verse in John 14 that Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you an advocate, a teacher, a counselor who will not only be with you, but be in you. Remember, as we've pushed ahead, what is this thing? Like, how do I come into God's presence? It's not talking about a physical thing. Like, we've looked at that already. We looked at Moses when God said, no, you can't. If you see me in my physical, in your physical presence, you'll die. You can't do that. So the place we discovered that we meet is God's spirit and my spirit. That's that place. So he's telling you, here's how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the message of Jesus Christ, what he's done, richly fill you completely. Because when that happens, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is what I'm saying. When we come to church on a Sunday morning and we start with a welcome and then after that move into worship and song as a community, as a church family, here I'm going to say it. Just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are starting to sweat. Because in your mind, there's this picture of what that means. This is what it means. Let the message of Christ, what he's done in your life, fill you up. That's what it means. So when we see the words on the screen, we say, are they true? Are they true in my life? When we hear the sound, the music, the melody, the harmony, do we let that come into our being? When this rhythm starts to happen, do I say, man, these words are great, this song is great, this is so true. I'm going to let that just fill me up and meet me at this place, my spirit to God's spirit. I'm just telling you right now, if that happens, when we come in to worship God in song, it'll change. It'll change for you. If we say at that back door, am I bringing in a heart that's filled with what Christ has done? Am I aware, concerned about what's going on around me? Am I taking that and coming with my brothers and sisters into the presence of God's throne and singing true words in a beautiful melody? Because I'm thankful. Changes. It changes. Anybody ever had a Sunday morning that when you came because it's right to come together with your brothers and sisters on that Sunday morning, but not because any part of you felt like going? Anybody had a Sunday morning like that? Put your hand up. We'll be meeting with you immediately afterwards with the elders. Oh, never mind. The elders had their hand up too. You're going to have days like that. And those days when you walk in and say, what has Christ done for me, man? This is going to be hard to hear an answer. You're just pounded. You need your brothers and sisters with full hearts to sing the truth of God's word and lift your spirit up. Because you can't do it on your own that day. You need, because it's hard for you to see the throne right then. You need your brothers and sisters to see the throne clearly and sing full heart, full voice, together to lift you up, to shake you and say, hey, this is what you're struggling with is just what you're struggling with today. But the truth is, Christ has done everything for you. Your brothers and sisters love you, and we get to worship God together. So today I want to finish our time in here with prayer. Quietly in your heart, just be talking to God. Maybe it's something like this. Man, I've gotten used to coming in on a Sunday morning, and when I walk in, I'm concerned about the donuts. I come in, I punch the time clock in the back, and I do my duty, and then I leave here and hope it helps somebody. So maybe there has to be that conversation with God. Maybe it's, boy, I enjoy it, but I never thought about stopping at that back door and saying, am I filled with just the wonder that Christ has done to me? Am I taking that into this time when we get together? Maybe it's going to be a conversation with God about, you know, I really haven't thought much about my brothers and sisters who are sitting next to me, and maybe I don't even have the answers for them or the struggle that they go through, but I haven't even come in with a full heart so that in their crushed moment, I could help lift them. Maybe that's it. But I say these words speaking truth and love to move us from here to here. And I believe it's what will happen if when we walk in that back door, we're thinking this is an avenue of coming into God's presence and I can't wait. So let's all stand. If you're part of the music team in any way, so you're a singer, you're one of the ones that organizes, like selects songs, you're an instrumentalist, you're technical team, and that's a bunch of things. Words on the screen, lights in the room, sound, that's all those things. If you're in that ministry team, would you put your hand up? Put your hand up if you're in that ministry team. You guys at the back table, you have no choice. Put your hands up. All right, if they're at the back table and they don't have their hand up, they're part of this. Okay, put your hand up. Keep it up. Keep it up if you're on that team. Okay. If you're not, I'm not on that team. If you're not on that team and you don't have your hand up, go put your hand on the shoulder of somebody who has their hand up. Okay? And you that have your hand up, you stay there. You don't go put your hand on anybody's shoulder. Okay? Lizzie, you headed back there. Thank you for doing that. Cindy, could you do that too? Yeah, what a shock. Yeah, not a shock to me. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, because we need multiple hands back there. And when we pray, hit every button you can hit and really freak that whole team out. Okay? Listen, when I lead in prayer, you talk to God about what's going on with you individually and say, Lord, you know, what is it that you want me to do in moving in this, coming into your presence with worship and song? What is it you want? Like, if I need to say, boy, I've been stuck. If I need to say, I'm sorry, I've just kind of said, I don't want to do that. Whatever it is, you take care of that. But then besides that, we're going to pray for these people that you can't imagine the countless hours that they put in and how they hash through things, trying to figure out exactly what brings us together in word, in music, in rhythm, so that we can put our hearts before the Lord, right? You can't believe it. They really do it. And God called them to do it. Like, I don't feel sorry for them because God put it in their hearts. But I am thankful for them. I'm really thankful for them. Okay? Sorry, musicians, I didn't mean to add that one little phrase about I don't feel sorry for you. Yeah. All right, let's pray for them. All right? Lord, just let me start with the me directed, with me, Tim. I am sorry that there are Sunday mornings that I come in here, walk in the back door, and think about busy stuff. The week before, the week coming, the day of. And that I don't stop and say, what has Jesus done in my life? I'm sorry that there are Sunday mornings that I come in here that I don't think about worship and song affecting the brother or sister sitting around me. I'm sorry for that, and I hope, Lord, I hope that because of your word being part of my life that won't happen. I'm sorry that there are days that I come in here and I'm thinking ahead or I'm thinking before. And I don't let my spiritual eyes and my heart and my spirit set on you and you alone. And I don't embrace the moment when we're all singing words that speak about who you are and what you've done in a beautiful way through music, through melody, through harmony. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for myself that I've missed out on times when my heart could be completely in sync with the brothers and sisters who are in the same room with me. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that the next time I have this opportunity, I stop at the door. I think about my brothers and sisters. I anticipate, I look forward to my heart being in rhythm with the brothers and sisters around me. My words being spoken to you. My heart being this perfume, this scented candle. The scent of praise and thanksgiving to you. And then, Lord, this morning I just want to end our time together so thankful for the brothers and sisters in our church family who you've put something in their heart. It's this unbelievable gift. It's this insight. It's this passion that you've put in them that you didn't put in all of your children. But you put it in them to help us. To help us come into your presence. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the countless hours that they put in practice and in preparation. The courage that they have in leading us. That some Sunday mornings, man, it just has to, they have to feel like they're the biggest tow truck in the world trying to pull us out of a ditch. But they do it. Thank you for the gift that you've placed in them. Help them to continue to lead very clear and very strong. And help us to grow as a church family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.